Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Jabba the Pod.
Right, sons, and welcome to Sci-Fi Wire's Jabba the Pod, our weekly Star Wars podcast where we discuss and celebrate the movie, shows, books, comics, games, and everything else from the galaxy far, far away. Every generation has a legend. Every legend has a podcast, and this is ours. I am your host, disgraced former Jedi and Force mystic Brian Silliman. Joining me are the greatest co-hosts in the galaxy, starting with former Force-sensitive Assassin's Guild member turned droids rights activist Caitlin Bush.
Hello there.
And the man who lets us record on his starship, the smuggler with a not-so-secret heart of gold, captain of the Starbinger, Matt Romano.
Greetings!
Still floating alongside us, as always now, is Bob the Purrgill. And of course, also here is our protocol droid, Y1RZZ Human Podcast Relations, also known as Wires.
Oh, hello, sir. I am pleased that you are actually awake this time.
Yes.
Yeah,
thank you,
geez.
Wires, for calling attention to that.
It's been active.
Yeah. I've been up. Listeners may have noticed, but earlier this week we recorded an emergency trailer episode, and I had gotten to sleep very, very, very late, and woke up to an exploding phone and about 10 minutes with which to get the mic and everything together. So the opening bit that we threw together, that's pretty much exactly what it was.
Yes.
I had watched the trailer once when we started recording without my glasses on.
Wow.
Didn't know what I was seeing. And I was so out of it. So listeners, I apologize. It's after we record an episode, this is behind the scenes a little bit, and this is nothing new in the world of podcasting, but we record it. Our amazing editor puts it all together. Our producer gives notes, and they usually do another pass. And then I listen to it and usually only have one or two things because it's already great because they do a great job. And then it's good to go. And then we publish. When I listened to it that day for the final pass, I had no memory of it. I remember what we just did a few hours ago. I listened to it that day. I'm like, I have no memory of recording any of this. All I remembered was
the rage
for one. Yeah. I don't remember the rage. I remembered none of it. Didn't remember. I full on just cursed you out, Matt. I remember I felt attacked at one point and I'm like, all of it justified. I was
my
so
friend
crazy.
Who listened to the episode was like, did you and Matt conspire just to make Brian angry? Was that the whole point of that?
And to be fair, it's not really hard, but it just part of it while we were
easy.
Doing it felt like it was still part of the dream I was having. It was part of me still when I watched the new Mando trailer, doesn't feel like it's real. And I'm like this, I'm still in the show.
Was it a dream or a nightmare?
Mm.
No, it's a dream. I have nightmares about this show. They've become like you know, like
stress
actors'
dreams.
Nightmares that I have all the time where mm-hmm. I'm doing a show and they're like, you're on in 5 minutes, but you've never rehearsed the show. Or it's like, you don't know any of the lines. It's like,
stress
I have those. I have stress dreams, actor nightmares all the time. I have started in the last few months having Jabba nightmares. We're recording and I have no script and I'm not prepared and I don't.
Take it easy, Brian.
We got to wing it.
Yeah. Oh, good force alive. This has been. Yeah. So, also added in the fact that I can no longer carry on a conversation anymore. I've lost the ability to have an unscripted conversation because of
that's just
I've
quarantine,
spent,
my friend.
Well, yeah. Exactly. That's because since March, I've been locked up with my own worst enemy, which is me. Anyway, so listeners, I apologize for my general attitude and my
No apologies necessary.
Soporific voice during that episode. In all the excitement, we didn't even welcome Matt back and ask him about his trip, though Mbop has been saying that she at least had a lot of fun, didn't you, Mbop?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It was
very
fun.
Very excited.
Oh boy. All right.
So how was it, Matt?
It was fun. We had a good time. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Where did you go?
We went to the moons of Vega.
Matt, are you okay?
Okay.
No.
Okay.
We're not going to talk about it. Everything's fine.
I'm traumatized.
Listen. We had a good week off. Me and Mbop were out in the Dooku. Stuff happened. Someday I'll tell you about it. Show you the pictures. But we're going to just,
It was so weird. You went to a location from Spaceballs.
Yes, exactly.
Did you comb the desert?
We combed the desert.
Cool.
Yep. It was the desert.
So we're combing it.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing else left to say on that except, Caitlin, many boats.
Many boats, Brian.
Many boats.
Matt, many boats.
Many boats.
For listeners, just so you know, this is our new version of This Is The Way.
Yeah, I missed that one.
And I love that, Matt, you just jumped right on it. This is the new fetch. This is happening. And
we're
going to make
boats
it catch
happen.
On, and it's going to be great. So, listeners, many boats.
Many boats.
Many boats.
And we're recording.
Can you imagine walking down the street and just like nodding your head to somebody? Like, many boats to you, sir.
Many boats.
Yes.
Many boats to you.
That is the future. That is what we're going to start right here today.
Fantastic.
That is what's going to happen.
This episode is off to a fantastic start.
Yep. Oh, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Weren't we here to talk about history. Something?
Yeah. We're recording on. Okay, Kate. Rebels. That's all right. Many boats.
Star Wars
many
Rebels. Boats.
We're recording on Thursday, September 17th, 2020, and we're going deeper into season 4 of Star Wars Rebels.
You're rebels, aren't you?
But before that, it's time for some news on the march.
News on the march.
Okay, the season 2 trailer for The Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian.
Still a lot more discussion, of course, and, you know, before we do anything else, many boats.
Many boats.
Many boats.
Though we did the emergency transmission with our first reaction, there is still some things to unpack from this first trailer. There is a lot of attention online, also a lot of listener feedback, things of interest that listeners have mentioned or noticed that we didn't give proper time to or did not see because we didn't have our glasses on. One of the biggest things, and this is a take a lot of people are having, that the snow planet, I immediately thought, well, it's Hoth, it's Pantora, or it could be a completely new snow planet. But you know what never occurred to me that occurred to pretty much everyone was it could be Ilum, the ice planet where Padawans go to get their kyber crystals. And this is interesting because this is well beyond the last time we saw Ilum was in the game Jedi Fallen Order, and the Empire has had their fun with it, ruined it, tunneled it, mined all the crystals and everything else, and really tunneled the whole thing out. And when you really look at it from above, it kind of looks like it's been tunneled and manhandled in the thing. So it's possible. And let's not forget, this is before the First Order takes Ilum and turns it into Starkiller Base because the Empire has already primed it for them. So this is in between that. So that would be an interesting little story point. Matt, I know very much you're intent on getting lightsabers in here.
Yes, I am.
What's the first, if you want to get a lightsaber, what's one thing you're going to need?
You're going to need a kyber crystal.
You're
going to
need
guy
a
on
kyber
Ilum.
Crystal. And what better place to get one than Ilum itself? So that's where Cal Kestis got one. So you can too. And Gungi got his there. So did
Padawan. Dream is alive.
The dream is alive. So there's a lot of story to mine there. Or it could just be another ice planet because there's probably more than 3 ice planets in Star Wars.
Maybe.
I mean, maybe. That's a hard
big galaxy.
That's a hard maybe. Yeah. The armor voiceover from season 1. It's not new. It's a line we've already heard, but it is interesting that they chose to use that line here. And it's that one listener, Aaron, pointed out that the path of the Mandalore is still an interesting way to put it. And I don't know if we called attention to this back when we covered Mando season one 17 years ago. Mm. But the idea of if she's talking about the Mandalore, the people, the place, or but the Mandalore was in the Old Republic days, at least those Legends books, is what the ruler of all of Mandalore was once called. They were known as the Mandalore. There was much ado about it. There was the person who could call them or claim the title of the Mandalore had something called Mandalore's Mask, then entitled the bearer to have that power. It was very similar to what the Darksaber does. It can unite all the clans mm-hmm. together. These things are depicted in many places, but I was just reading about them in the book Revan, which is in the Old Republic, all about Revan and a Mando named Candorous Ordo. It's a good read. It's a lot of fun. So it could be referring to that. I'm not sure. There's a lot of history there. And if that's what the armorer was talking about in the Path of the Mandalore, that's going into some Old Republic stuff. And that is interesting.
Which
is very Filoni.
It's very Filoni. I mean, they're bringing the Hammerhead Corvettes and bringing, but that leads us right to the hooded figure. Cause it's no, this is the, you know, theory that the VO meets image that launched the thousand ships is they say the word Jedi, right? As they see this hooded figure, who is Sasha Banks? A lot of fans jumping off the deep end saying that she's Sabine. I had a lot of people saying, do you think it's Sabine? I mean, it could be. I'll say that I don't want it to be.
Yeah.
So that's the best response to that take I have, is that no, and my reasoning is because I don't want it to be.
Well, maybe not yet. You know, maybe not yet.
I mean, this is the thing, though. You guys know my thing. If it's not Tia, then I don't want it. Also... There are many reasons. If it's not Tia, then somebody else. But it just doesn't work here. I think the whole issue of wedging in Sabine, Hera, and Ahsoka for that matter into this is it doesn't feel this is not their story. It feels like I'd rather see those characters. I would love to see those characters again, but I'd love to see them in their own thing, in their own show. This is Mando and Yoda, baby, and I don't want to see them as supporting characters in someone else's story. Reminds me of Ezra Bridger, you know, famous character. Bridger in the desert in Twin Suns with old Obi-Wan. He's like, this is not your narrative. You're in the wrong story. Mm-hmm. It's like, so get out of this because we have movies coming. Go back to your own show. That's how I feel about them popping up here. The exception being Bo-Katan. She fits perfectly into this mythos and also could still be played by Katie Sackhoff. It's still an issue with me separating the original actors from being replaced. That's really where this is coming from.
Well, you know what I find interesting? I think this is in the Entertainment Weekly article about Mandalorian season two, when somebody said that like they're really going for like a Game of Thrones scope of Mandalorian. Like they're going to introduce a lot of new characters, a lot of other side stories. I don't know if that's true, but like that could be also, you know, not necessarily, you know, it becomes... We get to look into what's going on with those people, because these are the most important characters of Star Wars in this time period. So if there's a larger thing at play, maybe we can see.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. You're not wrong, Matt. This is me not wanting to let go of the original actors.
Yeah, no, but I agree. I totally agree.
Anyway, it's me not being able to separate, but you're right. It's Game of Thrones, and hopefully they're not, you know, insta traveling around like later seasons of that show, which I know was a sticking point for you, Matt. Aside from Sabine, there are other thoughts on who this hooded Sasha Banks is. Listener Thomas asked if she could be an Inquisitor style non-Sith dark side user, which I immediately thought so. Yeah. So you're saying she could be a Red Blade.
Red Blades this Saturday.
They now have their own Coliseum.
The Red Blades Coliseum. So many concerts every day.
He is a Red Blades fan. We'll watch the Red Blades concert with great interest. Personally, the take that I really like, a theory brought to me by my friend and friend of the show, David, said, could this person be involved with Lor San Tekka's group of Force devotees? They aren't users, just believers. And Luke knew Tekka, and they would be around in this period. So maybe she's out scouting on the lookout for Force sensitives. So we might not see Luke, but we could see people that are attached to Tekka and Luke who's around scouting with little Ben in this period. I really like that take.
That's interesting.
Or stay with me. She could be a completely new character.
I think it's probably the latter.
Character that's going to take them to not the boxing match. Now that I actually see it, oh, it's Gamorreans fighting with blades. It's like, okay, so it's whatever. I like the Caitlyn take, which is she's going to lead them to this gladiatorial match or whatever it is with the flags. Yep. That has it's very Maz Kanata's castle, isn't it? That boxing match with all the flags over it, isn't it?
Yeah,
With the really muscular Gamorrean guard, it's like what's their CrossFit like?
Oh yeah, I think yeah. It's very aggressive, whatever it is.
Yo, Caitlin, how much do you lift? How much you lift?
Not playing this.
All right. any more observations upon closer inspection of the trailer, Caitlin Bush?
Not necessarily. I think we've covered just about everything. And you know, I think it's interesting that upon first watch of the trailer, everyone was like, "Oh, we didn't really learn that much." You kind of did. You kind of, there's little hints here and there once you watch it, like 25 times in a row. You pick up on some things, but ultimately, I still do think this is only the first couple of episodes of the season.
Yeah, I agree with you. I also would like to point out that we were so convinced that it's like, oh yeah, it's going to be a month out. It's going to be end of September before we get a trailer. Count on it. Count on it. Count on it. Bet on it. And then it's like, nope, it's
Well,
we're so way wrong, but you're right.
Yeah,
you see like newer things. Like somebody spotted what could be Boba's helmet and jetpack on the back of a speeder, but it could also be just a moisture evaporator. Who knows? It could be just a piece of crap that the designers nailed to it. Matt Romano, anything that you've noticed?
No, I think we've exhausted this thing frame by frame, but I am into the idea that is...
Others have. We certainly have not. I mean...
Oh, well, I mean, it's like, people are, getting really nitty gritty, but like, I think I mean, that they, the broad
gone
strokes...
frame by frame, but...
Yeah, we've gone through the broad strokes here, but I do
we've
like...
We've gone through the red blades.
We've gone through... Yes, if you'd like to say it that way, sure, yeah.
I would like to say it that way,
But like, you know, I'm into the idea of Ilum being the ice planet. I think that's a cool connection. I think it's also... a cool bridge between everything. You know, it's a little like foreshadowing at, you know, the prequel sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
I'm into it. I mean, you know, it could totally be another ice planet, but like, how many ice planets do we need? Let's, you know, come on.
It's cool. How many ice planets do you really need?
Come on.
I mean,
they all look the same.
But yeah, I mean, wow. Wow. Some kind of ice planet biased here. I don't know. But yeah, it does tie. It ties prequels, Clone Wars, Fallen Order, and the sequel trilogy, and now the original trilogy all together on Ilum. It would all converge. That is cool. Like
that,
there's going to be a planet that's a nexus point that has more drama and story to mine, as well as kyber crystals.
Whoa! I see what you did there.
Ooh.
Yeah. Do you see what I did?
I saw it.
It's a good place. Aside from, if you really look closely, Matt, you could see the Bubba Gump flag on the top of that boat.
Yes, you can.
Anyway, Gen A.
Lieutenant Dan is up there, too. Yeah.
I was really glad that he was my Mandalorian. many boats.
Many boats.
Speaking of the Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian.
While we're here, I just saw this morning. It's no secret that they had a ton of Emmy nominations and they've already won 5.
Yeah, what's going on
last night? They won the creative ones that they don't want to show on the actual broadcast, which is wrong.
Ooh.
I say they're like, oh, by the way, here's the ones that it's like, no, show them. You know, that's really unfair. I hate it when they do that. But anyway, Mandalorian has already won outstanding production design, sound editing, sound mixing, cinematography, and visual effects. So the show has already won 5 Emmys.
Wow.
So that's cool. Yeah.
That's incredible.
I don't know if it was nominated for makeup and prosthetics, but Picard won that instead.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah, I mean, you'd think it's with makeup and prosthetics. It's like, does that include puppets? Because is there a puppetry Emmy? Because everyone knows where that one would go.
Yeah, that's a good question, because I would definitely. I mean, I watched Picard and Mandalorian, and Picard is good, but come on.
I, it's we Well, we obviously both watched
Picard. We both watched
for
Picard.
Various reasons. There's a very good reason why. And there was also a special Emmy for Best Werner, and that was won by me.
Just
in case. Oh, you thank you, Matt Romano. I'm very happy to have won my own award. I was the only one nominated, but I was nominated 5 times. I'm happy it was the one that I was the Werner that got the award. Just in case it isn't already clear, we here at Jabba the Pod are going to be celebrating and discussing the Kark and Criff out of every episode of season 2 of The Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian!
Just like we did with The Mandalorian season 1 17 years ago. I don't know if we've made that official or made that clear, but expect it. Count on it. Once we're done with Rebels, we will segue into that. So anyway, this is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
And many boats. Many with boats. That, we're going to jump back into season 4 of Star Wars Rebels.
Your Rebels on you.
Wires, what's on deck?
As per your orders, we will be discussing the episodes In the Name of the Rebellion up and through the episode Rebel Assault.
Okay, everybody got that?
Got it.
Now, everything... Caitlin's already had it. Caitlin's done. She's a hair's breadth from quitting. Don't quit. Please don't quit.
Yeah, don't.
Everything we're about to discuss is canon, but for big additions, we'll fire off our trusty canon. When we remember to do so, if we have hot takes along the way, we'll send a hot take alarm. And if anything really blew our minds the first time, I blew them all over again on rewatch, then we'll let loose with a seismic mind charge. Now, these episodes can be located on Disney Plus, and since they have been out for a while, we will dispense with the spoiler klaxon. But if you haven't seen them, we do highly recommend you watch them before listening to this podcast, because what is there, Caitlin M. Bush, like the beer, not like the president?
There's a clear order in which you should watch Star Wars Rebels and then listen to our podcast.
That's right, and then after you listen to the podcast, take a whole day and celebrate me, Werner, watch all of my movies. If we're all set, punch it!
Show me what you have on your Rebels.
Star Wars Rebels Season 4, picking up after Heroes of Mandalore Parts 1 and 2, we go right into In the Name of the Rebellion Parts 1 and 2, and that's right, it's time for more Hard Ethical Questions starring Saw Gerrera. We've brought him in, here he is. Saw Gerrera, welcome to the podcast. No, it's, first off, why and what's going on? No, it's... Every time Saw appears in an episode, my ethical wheels start spinning, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm sitting here trying to solve the trolley problem. Anyway, this episode we pick up Ezra, Sabine, Kanan, and Chopper return to the Rebellion. We're finally on Yavin 4 in animated form, and man, it looks great, doesn't it?
It looks so good.
Nice to be here.
It's great to be here.
It's comforting.
We hear Rebels, and in this time period, we've been expecting Yavin 4, and we're finally here. Hera also joins in, but she kind of comes crashing into the proceedings, if you will. And she literally crashing in a Y-wing. Yeah. I felt bad for you, Matt, because I'm like, it's a Y-wing.
Or Y-wings.
Crashing or landing with style. What's that from? What's that from something, isn't it? I forget. Anyway.
What is that from?
But also on deck, not only is everyone together again, Callus is here with a new rebel leader look. And this is hot Callus complete. What do we all think of Callus's new rebel leader look?
It's good. The facial hair is still a lot.
Yeah.
I was waiting because Brian, you kept saying hot Callus, and I was like, I don't know what that means.
And now I'm like, to be fair, I
was waiting for a transition period where he would start to look different because he just kept looking the same. And I was like, is this a joke that I'm not getting?
One strand of hair didn't do it for you?
I guess not. I don't know.
It looks like he went to Star Wars equivalent is to like an L.L. Bean. And came out, you know, like all
LL Bean run by General Draven from Rogue One. It's like, okay, so you're going to be in the rebel leadership. You need this jacket.
Yeah, you need a vest. You need a belt.
You need this badge with these 5 dots.
Yep.
You need a lot of
pockets.
Yeah.
Always so pockets. Many pockets because you're going to be carrying a lot of stuff. And also just kill Galen Erso. Don't let him live, no matter what they said. But now, Caitlin, I'm sensing... Have you finally getting hot Callus or you're still, what's the deal?
I mean, I understand what you mean by hot callus because he has like the floppy hair now, I guess. So that's the Star Wars version of like, oh, he's cool now.
Look, he's a cool callus. He's not cool like those other calluses. He's a cool callus. You can have a little bit. You can have a little spotch guy. I won't tell anyone. Look, this is not a me thing. This was going on when these episodes were on. Hot callus was a was
oh, no,
a hashtag.
I believe you wholeheartedly because it's the internet.
Yeah. Matt, you remember hot callus, right? I'm not making this up.
No, he's still my desktop wallpaper, actually. You know, I'm looking at him right now. Hey, Callus.
Look at those pockets.
Ooh, pockets.
I don't believe you. yeah, it's the pockets. Anyway, as for our real problems with pockets, Hera has escaped an ambush and Bail Organa. And this is so great. We see not only are we on Yavin, but we see the classic base with the hollow table, yeah. Right from the end of New Hope. It's great. And Bail Organa says it's because of an Imperial comm relay on Jalindi, which is causing them some problems. It's caused us some problems in the past, hasn't it? Caitlin, you were always saying, it's like, when are we going to do something about Jalindi? Yeah. You're famous for that.
That relay is just really just screwing everything up for us.
You even just say Jalindi and I tune out because I'm like, enough.
How many times can we talk about Jalindi?
Seriously. Yeah. And yet you still bring it up. It's like, when have I ever endlessly harped on anything?
Never.
Anyway.
What?
Many boats. The whole base then gets an angry they get an angry holocall from Saw Gerrera, voiced again by Forrest Whitaker, and his hair has started going a little nutso, and so is he. And I love that he just, an astromech comes out, puts him out on full holo blast, and it's just his giant head in the courtyard of the Yavin base, and he just calls out Mon Mothma. And if the honeymoon, and they were already discussing him before this, but if the honeymoon wasn't over before this, it certainly is after this, because Saw's like, they've now gotten this whole alliance together and Saw's not really a part of it, and he just puts Mon Mothma on blast in front of everybody. Says, you are weak because you won't go to any lengths to defeat the Empire, and you won't do whatever is necessary. And Mon Mothma says, we won't stoop to violence or extremism. And for once, she's looking a little angry and she's looking unsettled. She's probably it's rare that we see her uncomposed,
but she's
thrown off and probably pissed off. It's like an excuse you moment. What do we think of this scene of, because these are really the two opposing viewpoints of the rebels. And it's something we revisit in Rogue One. Also, it's like, do whatever is necessary. Or if we follow that path, we're as bad as they are. It's one or the other. And here it is dramatized.
Right. These episodes gave me the overwhelming urge to watch Rogue One again, because it's that same exact argument that they have in that movie, in these episodes. And obviously Mon Mothma, it does get around to composing herself again, but she's about ready to commit an act of violence herself.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely. At Saw, it's like, it's okay. Yeah. By all means, fight amongst yourselves. I just keep thinking, I'm like, I know we're supposed to go with what Mon Mothma's saying, but part of me is just, does Saw have a point in that at this point, the odds are so against them and the evil is so extreme. And as we see later in these episodes, I mean, the Imperials are selling people as slaves. They're, awful in so many ways. It's, does Saw have a point? And part of me, I'd be lying if I said part of me sees his point of view. It's, and then he starts pulling some really shady stuff in this episode, and I'm like, okay, no. But still, and it's like, and don't hold the gun to Click Clack's head also, but part of what he's saying here is, you know, he's not wrong, but there has to be a middle way, doesn't there? There has to be. There's like, because so far Mon Mothma is all about inaction. Saw is about extreme action. There has to be a third way.
Yeah.
That way is Hera.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. In this show. Absolutely. Hera's the way. I immediately think of the Duchess weapon from last week. It's like, do whatever's necessary. And I think of the Duchess because Saw's using a lot of tactics that the enemy would use. And we've seen we've talked about how using the tactics and tools of the enemy gets you in trouble. This makes, I'm going to completely cross franchise, but it's another Dave Filoni favorite, so it doesn't matter. I'm allowed. It reminds me of the One Ring, where in Lord of the Rings, where Sauron himself can use it, but no one else can. You cannot wield it. Nobody else can. And if they try, they're doomed. And that's exactly what Sauron's counting on. And even a more powerful being like Galadriel, she may be able to use it to conquer him, but she'd just become another version of him. Bright and beautiful and terrible as the dawn, treacherous as the sea, stronger than the foundations of the earth, all shall love me and despair. So it's, you just, instead of that, you'll have this. So you're just replacing that evil with another evil, which is really what the evil of the Galactic Republic gave way to the evil of the Empire. It's still, you know, you don't want to do that again. That cycle repeats again and again and again in Star Wars. So now we're really going off the deep end. But that's what Saw Gerrera episodes do. And yes, like you, Caitlin, I also immediately wanted to put on Rogue One. So anyway, we said how you win is important. And it's all, it's not just that you win, it's how you win. It's a theme that's brought up a lot on Rebels. And it's also, it's something that Rose Tico talks about in Last Jedi. It's like, that's how we're going to win. Not by doing this, but by doing this. But anyway, always the tough questions with Saw. Mon Mothma, after getting called out by the huge head of Saw Gerrera in front of everyone, sends the Ghost Crew to deal with the Jalindi relay, to hook into it and get info from it, not to blow it up. Sabine hooks them up to the main channel, and then Ezra pretends to be his old pal Brom Tidus. But the problem is, the person he's trying to fool is actually Brom Tidus. And this joke is why I've kept the Brom Tidus runner going, because I love this, where it's Ezra's nemesis and their nemesis with each other, and Ezra's continual trying to fool people into saying he's other people. And he said he's Brom Tidus before, but now he tries it. It's like, the name's Matt Romano. And it's like, I don't believe you. Why? Because I'm Matt Romano.
You don't know how many times that's happened. Yeah.
I know it is. And I keep trying it. So I love that bit. Anyway, Sabine and Ezra are in trouble, but before the Ghost can pick them up, a U-Wing, Matt, U-Wing alert.
Yeah. Yep.
You're happy to see the U-Wing?
Absolutely. Glorious animated U-Wing.
U-Wing, piloted by Saw, grabs them instead and bombs the relay and the Imperial cruiser. Mon Mothma's mission was, again, to intercept the transmission, not to blow the whole thing up. But welcome in Saw. And Saw doesn't intercept, he just destroys. Hera asks that Saw return Ezra and Sabine, but he jumps to light speed instead. And we go to part two. Saw is still on the trail of the super weapon that the Empire is developing. Still wonder what do you guys think that super weapon is?
You know, I don't know.
It's a mystery.
Yeah, big mystery. It's not a moon.
No, it's definitely, it's too big to be a space station.
People have guessed it's a moon. It's not.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. I have a good authority that people have guessed it's a moon. He's heading for that small moon. He's heading for those. That's drawings in the sand from Click Clack. Anyway, he needs help from Sabine and Ezra. So they sneak onto a cargo shuttle where a group of engineers are being shipped to Jeddah. I love the Jeddah reference. And they find a huge kyber crystal. It's all connected. They fail to get the big crystal out of there. They can't get it out. So Saw just blows it up. And then they're rescued by, he's rescued anyway, by Edrio Two Tubes in the U-Wing, who's his... who is his kind of partner in crime in this two-parter. And it's cool to see him in it too. The Rogue One connections continue.
I love this guy. Yeah, he's one of those characters that always stood out of Rogue One for me. Those background characters like, oh, what's that guy's story? He's cool.
Yeah. And I had to look this up because it's Edrio Two Tubes and not his quote unquote eggmate Benthic Two Tubes. You see both of them in Rebels. Only one of them survives, though, and goes on in comics. It's interesting and kind of leads the partisans after Saw's gone.
They really hit you on the head with the two tubes, don't they? That's really
that's their name. And so you wonder what came first, the look or the name.
The look or the name, exactly.
Caitlin's just shaking her head like it's like, can we stop with Edrio Two Tubes, please? Caitlin, what's your hot take on Edrio Two Tubes?
Seems like a loyal dude. That's
a good take.
You didn't answer my question. Hot or not?
Oh, is that the question?
Yes.
Not?
Sorry, Edrio Two Tubes. That's a not. Matt, Edrio Two Tubes, hot or not?
I would give him on a scale of calluses, He is a seven.
Seven.
Out of how many calluses?
10 calluses.
Out of 10 calluses? Okay. I'm going to award Edrio Two Tubes 45 out of 100 hot calluses. Ooh. So I think, I'm sorry, Edrio Two Tubes, you are not hot. And this fictitious character doesn't care. The ghost rescues Ezra, Sabine, and the engineers, and the engineers all decide to join the rebellion, which is nice. So they do note, though, they all note, this is the second time they've dealt with a giant kyber crystal, the first time being in season one, when Kanan and Hera blew one up in the middle of space. And Sabine asks if it's possible to weaponize them. Kanan is unsure, and we're probably all screaming at the television. Yes, yes, it is. We've seen it. We know. And it's all, as we've said, huge foreshadowing and build up to Rogue One. We also have a Death Trooper in the mix for even further Rogue One connections who doesn't speak in the garbled mech voice for once. They're actually just talking. It's like, oh, okay. So that's kind of a weird thing, because usually they're mechanized. They have special programming in their heads or whatever for, you got to be good. You got to be good to be a Death Trooper. They go into how you actually become one in the book Alphabet Squadron.
Do you have to be tall? Also, do you have to be really tall to be a Death Trooper?
No, I think they give you lifts if you're not tall enough. It's not like must be 6 foot or swipe left. It's it's, you know, they'll give you lifts. They'll just, they'll give you magic legs. I don't know. But really, a really important point here, Caitlin is just trying not to laugh right now. She's just giving me a look of, I hate you, but also it's like, this is, just let it out.
This episode is something.
Awesome.
It's something. It's something.
It's something.
What a nice change of pace, because our episodes of late have been so sane.
Yeah, anyway. They've been really on point lately.
We're all fine here.
Wow.
Okay. We're all doing really well.
All right. Most important here, however, in part one, is Ezra reminds Mon Mothma that Lothal is still a problem. When are they going to go deal with it? And she empathizes. Her planet, Chandrila, is also in trouble, but they can't go yet. And Ezra is not having it. So mostly this whole two-parter is a big lesson for Ezra that Saw might get results, but yet again, at what cost? We see the dark side of Saw's actions, but Ezra's musing at the end prove that he's on the fence. The Empire is winning and the Rebellion hasn't even started playing yet. Mm-hmm. So if they have a chance, time to stop being so polite and start getting real. Like we've said, there's a middle ground between Saw's overaction and the Rebellion's current inaction. And Rogue One shows the Alliance's eventual shift, but they just got slapped hard in 0 hour. Let's not forget. Yeah. So we get their reticence of not wanting to mobilize what little ships they have left. But still, Ezra's like, Lothal. So he's about to find his own third way. So for more Brom Titus, more Saw, U-Wings in animation, Edrio Two Tubes, hot or not, another giant kyber crystal, Jedha references, Callus and Rebel clothing, and more huge ethical conundrums, cannon, fire! Moving on, The Occupation. Hey, remember Lothal and the TIE Defender? Well, it's time to go back to that storyline. Writer Azadi sends word another TIE Defender test is happening, and Mon Mothma knows this is serious because she's seen these things in action personally, if we remember. She also still won't let the Greater Alliance go to Lothal, but she asks for volunteers to go on this mission. Ezra pipes up immediately as he's been sulking for this entire episode about Lothal, and Hera says, yep, we're all going. It's like, don't worry, kid. It's like, Hera, at least, is like, we know, we're going. Mon Mothma says she can't guarantee that she can even get them out after they go in, and Ezra doesn't care. He's saying he's going to help anyway. And she, I love Mon Mothma when she says, okay, you can go, but we don't know if we can even get you out. I was like, you know, be of less help.
Hey, like, she's got a lot on her plate, dude. Like,
I know, but at the same time, this is a problem. This is, you know, it's
there's a lot of problems.
What else are they doing? Looking for more pockets? It's come on.
The quest for a jacket with more pockets. Yeah.
Yeah. That's episode 10. Yeah. I mean, that's the Taika movie. The ghost crew, they depart for Lothal, and they have to get smuggled in by Visago because of the Empire tightening stuff up to a huge degree. And this is a sequence that I love. Callus doesn't trust Visago, but Hera points out, pretty much. Yeah, but you're callous. So, you know, you're going to talk about trust. We didn't used to trust you either yet. Look where we are. Visago's payment is puffer pigs. Apparently, Lando made a fortune with them from the one he got in season one. And so the return of puffer pigs are back briefly. It's not a huge plot point here. They all board the Broken Horn. Hera tells Rex that he's in charge of the ghost until they are back. And there's a hilarious, merry mix-up because Callus thinks she was talking to him. And he remembers all the trouble this ship caused him and how now he's in the pilot seat. And Rex says Callus has it wrong. Callus's defense is that he used to command Star Destroyers. And Rex says, yeah, that's why you're wrong. She was talking to me. Yeah. It's like, thank you for making my point. So Callus moves to the co-pilot seat and Rex takes command. And they leave the ghost and the ghost is now left with, in season one, could you imagine a scenario of Rex in command and Callus as co-pilot of the ghost?
No, that's, I love it though. What a great, like, I love
it's,
the.
Yeah, yeah it's that. Crazy. Right. I just took a moment and I'm like, wow. It's like in no time at all, this is what's changed. This is where we are.
Yeah.
It's
right. I feel like we moved so fast through everything, but also it's been a while, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's been seasons, but it's like, wow, things really change. It's because I never thought that Rex would even be on the show. So if you had told me in season one, it's like, no, Rex is going to be on the ghost and also Callus is a good guy and flying co-pilot with Rex, I'd be like, what?
That's
insane. Fiction. Let's just say for that, mind blown. Love it. Anyway, stuff has changed. The Empire has done no wonders for the Lothal environment. There's more fun with Visago and Puffer Pigs and disguises. They all end up in the bar run by old Joe, the Athorian bartender and rebel informant. But he has been executed. His bar, once a haven free of Imperial crap, is now full of Imperial crap. It's now pretty much an Imperial sports bar. And it's run by Baron Valen Rudor, who we haven't seen in a while. Apparently, he's out of the pilot game and has into the bar game. So he's a regular Star Wars Sam Malone. And now we have a huge Canera moment. Hera and Kanan hide in an alley. And they have these disguises. The whole crew has these weird disguises on.
My God, yeah, the Lothal hats. The hats. I don't know. The hats
are so good.
The hats. It's like where they go and buy hats. They blow it all on hats.
Lothal's known for two things, hats and crazy ass TIE fighters.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, almost all hats are a mistake. They hide in an alleyway and Kanan says they've been here a while. It's been a while since they've been alone together. It's like they're being hunted and Kanan decides to start a romantic.
Yeah.
Now is the time. This is a good time as any.
It's always a good time. It's always a good time for a little romance. as I say, as the ladies just run. Hera says when we're alone, it's usually in spots like this. Kanan, and then they have a really lovely moment. And he says he wishes he could see her. And Hera he's got this visor on this because he can't use his regular faceplate because that's too identifiable. But this this Lothal local Geordi LaForge visor or whatever, she takes that off and she says, you could always see her. And they almost kiss. And then Hera's cell phone rings and business calls. So it's a Canera moment. Canera interruptus. But don't worry, we're going to get it. It's coming. I know everyone's really worried. The point to which Caitlin is completely checked out is hilarious.
She's just doing the best she can with what we're giving her. So, you know, don't worry about it.
I mean, yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm not worried about it. I'm just calling attention to it. I will try to do better. The ghost crew ends up being chased. Yeah. We've got another death trooper on their tail. They are helped by Ezra's old academy friend, quote unquote, Jaikel, who's still in the mix, who has joined Azadi's rebel cell. It's nice to have friends, isn't it? The Azadi contingent
and
now
is voiced
including
by Dante Bosco.
Is he?
Who is Zuko in Avatar: The Last Airbender?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep, he has like the most distinctive voice, and it's just delightful.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. This is my shameful thing. I still have not watched that series. I know.
Oh my God.
That's when we do Aang the Pod. It's going to be the other way around where I'm watching for the first time. And yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good, everybody. Be on the lookout for that. Anyway, so Jaikel is now part of Azadi's rebel cell. And they it also includes Marita Sumar, whose husband sadly died thanks to Thrawn and the speeder test. They have a U-Wing. So more U-Wings, Matt. This is just a festival of U-Wings for you.
I mean, we're in it now. We are.
Yeah, we're now where the real game begins. Yeah. All of Ezra's doomsaying about Saw being right and the cell is let down that the Greater Rebel Alliance isn't coming. But Ezra thinks, you know what? We're going to do it ourselves. Azadi doesn't agree because the new Defender has some tricks and moves that Ezra ain't never seen. But Ezra pretty much says it's a return to basics here. Rebellions start small. It's a little bit of everything here. It's like we have everything we need. We have this little cell. We've got Jaikel. We've got you, Ryder Azadi. We've got a U-Wing. We can do this ourselves. And also, I mean, rebellions are built on hope. Am I right?
Hey.
Somebody said that, yeah.
Okay. For the return to Lothal, more Jaikel, what Caitlin said about him, Azadi, Imperials ruin everything, and holy Kenera, cannon, fire! Okay, flight of the Defender. It's a test of the Defender. Sabine's idea is to steal the data recorder from the new Defender to get all of the stats. The one piloting this hot new Defender prototype is our old friend Volt Skaris.
That's right. I'm back. I'm sure everyone's really excited.
He's a star.
I'm the star of this episode, everybody.
Oh, fantastic.
Thank you very much. I don't understand sarcasm, so I'm just going, thank you. I'm glad that I'm back.
They keep scoping out the factories and testing site, and Lothcats are ever present. There's a lot, the Lothcat presence is much bigger since they've hit Lothal. I wonder
so
why.
They're so cute.
Me,
yeah. And if you want your very own, Sabine goes to steal the data recorder from the Defender, but right as she does, Thrawn and Price hit the scene. Things are about to get interesting, as Zeb says. Carabast. Ezra ends up blowing his cover really quickly. Sabine finds the new TIE has a Nava computer, which is interesting. Thrawn immediately knows that it's Ezra, and Death Troopers are on the march. Sabine ends up, you know what? I'll just steal this whole ship. Oh, that's one way to get the info out of here. I'll just take the ship.
Sure.
She takes off and I'm like, hey, that's my ship. She scoops up Ezra and then she uses the ship's guns to lay waste to this entire place. And then there's this Thrawn moment that I love. It's one
I
of my favorite
this
Thrawn
moment.
Moments. Mm. Right? It
yeah,
sticks
it's awesome.
Out, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
She's going all around, blowing everything to bits, and everyone is dodging and running for cover except him. He's standing calm as anything, not taking cover at all, and just still up straight and has his pistol out and just shoots at it. And that's it. Calm as anything. Not worried about
being
hit.
Isn't this the moment in which he goes, fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And it's like, it's just such, and you're like, oh, wow. This is one of those moments that it's like, what other Imperial would, maybe, again, Tarkin, I could see doing something like this. But what is Admiral Piet going to do this?
No.
And I love Admiral Piet, but he's going to run for cover. It's like Double K.
Like a normal person.
Yeah. Double K's dead. Yeah, but
I don't think Tarkin would do it. I think this is pure Thrawn. I don't think there's one
you don't think Tarkin would do it?
That would do it. Yeah.
I mean, it's the Thrawn book and the Tarkin book and background stuff about Tarkin that makes me think that he'd do it because he's no, you know, he can get his hands dirty in terms of hunting and everything else. He's got some moves. Anyway, I love that moment. I'm glad you guys picked up on it too, because that's one I remember that from when I first watched it, and I loved it here as well. Again, it's just such a boss move.
I dig it.
After it's gone, he also asks, he's like, was this part of the demonstration?
Yeah.
because
always got to get the last word in, man. Yeah.
If it was, well done. I really like the art of it. could have used more songs. Thrawn says not to hit the ship's kill switch yet because this can be a good combat test. So Thrawn gonna Thrawn. All this time, the question has been, once they have the data, how are they going to get it back to the rebellion? Because if we remember, Mon Mothma says, I can be no help. Well, the ship has a hyperdrive, so they can get it out that way. That's one of the big pluses to the TIE Defender. It has a hyperdrive, so they can get the data out using that hyperdrive. Sabine pulls some fancy flying moves that has Thrawn wondering who the pilot is. Skerritz says, oh, it has to be Hera Syndulla. But Thrawn counters, saying if it was Hera, then all three of the interceptors pursuing it would already be down. Yeah. And I was like, wow, respect for his enemy.
Respect.
It's like, yeah, he's the bad guy.
He has
guy, but
so
he's like,
much respect for Hera Syndulla.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, still, it's like I won't say her name right, but it's like if it was her, everyone would be dead already. So I really love that he has that respect for her, and it really still comes down to Thrawn versus Hera. And he's, you know, studied the art. He studied the art on Hera. He's still got that Kalachori. Thrawn sees that the ship's homing beacon was wiped very quickly, so he guesses correctly that Sabine must be on the ship and that Ezra is flying. If someone like Ezra can get really good at flying this thing so fast, then it has been a successful test. Test concluded. Great success. Hit the kill switch. And they do. And the Defender ends up crashed in the hills of Lothal. Sabine and Ezra hide the TIE's hyperdrive for future pickup, and they try to escape pursuing Imperials. This is where, and this is a huge moment, Ezra has glimpses of a Loth wolf, which is a huge, rare species no one has seen in over 100 years. Sabine can't see it at all. Now, the wolf appears and puts Sabine to sleep, which is an odd moment. It was odd when I first saw it, and it was odd again. The white Loth cat appears on top of its head, so Ezra knows that he can trust it. And the wolf then gives him and the sleeping Sabine a ride. It brings them back to the rest of the team. It vanishes, leaving Ezra with the message, Doom, which is, of course, as we know, Kanan's real last name is Doom. His real name is Caleb Doom. Kanan says all paths are now coming together. We'll know what it all means when we get there. And the rebels leave and the Loth wolf watches. And I remember seeing this. And it was like, we all know it's no secret that Dave Filoni loves his wolves.
Yeah.
He loves wolves. And these are giant mystic force space wolves of the highest order. And
sure,
they're so weird, but it still feels perfectly Star Wars to me. It's not so weird that it's not Star Wars. It's not like Yuuzhan Vong, where that doesn't feel like Star Wars at all. These still feel at home in this, you know, the creature mythos of all this, while also, yeah, it's Dave's wolf thing, but it just feels right, doesn't it?
Yeah, we've talked about this before. It's like, you know, the galaxy is a strange, weird place. And like, you know, we've seen so much stuff. It's like, this would be the thing that you're like, no wolves.
Right.
Like, get out of here.
Like, come on. Fine with Purrgils.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we're at the point, it's like, we've seen the Purrgil. Yeah. We're predisposed. It's new, but it's also, it's Dave Filoni. I mean, this
right.
had to have come directly from him. And I know that he probably wanted wolves this whole time, but it's definitely also a...
They were like, he was like, wolves, what? Everyone was like, okay, hold back.
Yeah, it's like just
you gotta build up to it.
Yeah. And it also giving huge Princess Mononoke vibes. They're not, that's not subtle at all, but it's,
ooh.
I love the Loth wolves, and they are pivotal for the entire rest of this, the whole rest of the series. Like, I hope you like the Loth wolves because they're here to stay. Any other thoughts on the Loth wolves other than they're awesome and I want one? Because those are my thoughts.
Sure.
Yeah. They're awesome. And
they're awesome.
I don't know where I would keep it in my, on this small ship here, but maybe we can find one.
We can make some room in the back.
There's something about force creatures, about creatures that are mystical and deep in the force. And this is, we've already had Bendu, you know, here's a creature of the force that we don't know much about it, where it comes from, but it comes and goes at will. It helps when it wants. And it's part of a larger force presence on Lothal that we'll find out that Filoni had been hinting at in really subtle and weird, unexpected ways for years before they actually showed up. And it's fascinating. So for the new TIE Defender prototype, a successful test, the big Thrawn moment, the Loth wolf, huge foreshadowing, cannon, fire. And then we're going to move on to a very important episode, Kindred. On Lothal, Kanan ponders how this group is always drawn back to Lothal. Hera says, well, it's Ezra's home, but Kanan says, yeah, but we were drawn to it before we ever met Ezra. What's going on here? There's something deeper at work. What keeps pulling us back to this planet? What's the deal? Meanwhile, Ezra, Zeb, and Jai-Kel go to grab the hyperdrive that they stole, but they have a new problem. Thrawn has dispatched his assassin and personal shopper, Rook. And this is another huge... Yeah, right, Matt?
I hate this guy.
But this is another huge lift from the original Heir to the Empire trilogy where we first met Thrawn as well. Rook was a big character there and Thrawn's personal assassin for
that trilogy. It makes me angry because he's too capable. He's too good and he worries me.
Yeah.
Oh, and I don't like it. I don't like it when Imperials are actually good at what they do.
Yeah. Good call. Yeah.
That's a very good call. And because things, if you're going to be Thrawn's personal, someone's going to be Thrawn's personal assassin, you know, they're going to be formidable.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not going to get, you know, another double K in here.
And I think any humanoid that can run on four legs is immediately like, freaks me out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be allowed.
I know it freaks you out, Matt.
Yeah. When you do it around the ship and you're just like, you know, exorcism all over the ship.
Whoops, yeah, I'm really. Whenever we recreate that scene, that one scene from X-Men,
that's what I'm thinking of.
That's what it is. Things play out differently than it does in the Heir to the Empire books with Rook here, because when he showed up, I expected him to play a similar part of the end of Rebels. I'm like, oh, now I know at least a part of how Rebels is going to end, because he played a very distinctive part in the Heir to the Empire trilogy, but it's not the same at all. They don't do the same thing at all. And I won't, in case you haven't read the Heir to the Empire trilogy, I won't spoil it, but that goes a different way. Rook is a Nagri. He is an expert tracker with a pretty smart nose. And he's got a nose for news. He's always sniffing out the scoop.
Those pictures of Spider-Man.
He didn't just watch the first day of DC Fandom. He watched both days. He's got a nose for everything, especially he can smell Lasat from miles away. He can cloak himself, too. He's got a personal little cloaking device.
Yeah.
And he's also very formidable in melee combat and has his own electro staff. He is voiced in this series by all-around legend Warwick Davis, known for Caitlin's favorite movie, Willow. You are great. Leprechaun, the Harry Potter series, and more. But in Star Wars, Davis played, among many other roles, he played Wicket the Ewok when he was very, very young in Return of the Jedi. Subbing, it was supposed to be Kenny Baker who played R2, but he got sick. So they brought in Warwick. And Warwick is this kid. He's very, very young, loves Star Wars. And all of a sudden, he's doing a scene with Carrie Fisher. The interviews with Warwick about his first day being on set and just being thrown into this are really fun to watch. And pretty much, as is any interview with Warwick Davis. And not only that, he played Wicket again in a very small cameo in Rise of Skywalker alongside his real life son. Right at the end there, when you see Wicket again, that is him.
Yeah.
But he's also made appearances in most Star Wars films since. He's pretty much in every single one, Return of the Jedi onward. Not only is he in Phantom Menace, he's Anakin's young Rodian friend Wald, but he also plays Weasel in no makeup at all. It's just full-on Warwick Davis. You can see him with Watto during the pod race. And the fun tidbit is you then see him later in Enfys Nest's gang in Solo, and he takes his helmet off and it's him. And that's not... That's not just Warwick Davis as another character. It's the same guy. That's Weasel from Phantom Menace.
That's fun.
Yeah, that guy from the pod race. It's like goes on to be part of the Enfys Nest and the Cloud Rider, which I thought was really cool. Outside of the films, Warwick is of course a regular host of Star Wars Celebration and is generally an amazing person, and we love him. It's somewhat crazy that I remember when he was announced, it was at Celebration and he was already the host and they brought it out. Here's who's playing Rook. It's like Rook is joining the show and Warwick is playing him, and Warwick was just there and he comes right back out. He's getting into the show right at the end because we're like almost halfway through the last season. But it's also amazing because the voice sounds nothing like Warwick Davis. You listen to Rook speak and do you think Warwick Davis at all?
No, I did not realize that it was him. It just sounds nothing like him.
Yeah, so this is just a really big moment, another one of these crazy recanonizing moments. So for the return of Rook, cannon fire. So Rook proves to be a huge problem for the Ghost Crew, as we said, and he leads Governor Price right to their hideout. The hyperdrive starts to be installed in Azadi's U-Wing, and it might not work. Hera and Chopper are going to fly the TIE Defender info out of there, but before she leaves, there's another huge Kenera moment. Kanan to Hera, have you given enough? have you given enough to the rebellion? Hera says, when the galaxy is free, maybe then. Kanan, what are you going to do then? Thought about it? Hera says, haven't thought about it. Kanan says, so you haven't thought about us? Hera says, we've talked about this. Hera gets called away again, and the imp's incoming, and I'm like, ah! And then Hera makes to leave, and Kanan is hiding in the ship, and I'm like, are you trying to go with her? And he comes out, expresses worry, and right as he's expressing worry, she just kisses him.
Finally!
It's glorious. Yeah, and it's Sabine sees it, elbows Zeb to take a look. It's like, look at mom and dad.
Yeah.
And it's like,
they're making out.
And then they have this forehead touch, and she says, may the force be with you. And she jumps in the finished ship and flies off. And I am dead. I am officially dead.
Yeah.
It's very cute.
It's very cute. Oh, my God. It's the most romantic thing since Pride and Prejudice. Oh, my God. For the Kenera kiss.
Okay.
Mind blown. It just is, Matt. mind blown. Cannon fire. Also, it is likely that more of this happened after their first scene in this episode. More making out, and more than that. This is not, we know from our talk with Vanessa Marshall that this is not their first kiss.
Yeah, no way.
And Vanessa Marshall said as much in our interview with her. But what I'm still trying to get to, you know, for lack of a better way to say it, when Hera and Kanan got it on. When they got down and dirty.
Oh boy.
When they did the deed. When they had sex.
I need to watch this show and listen to this show.
Dave, well, it's time that everyone learns what sex is. It's not something to be ashamed of, Matt. Sex is a thing that humans do.
Oh, geez.
You have a child, so sex, heard of it? It's a thing. It's something humans do. So this is what I've heard. Anyway, Filoni says that this is the episode where that happens. There's a scene between them, and it cuts the commercial. And in that commercial break, that's when it happens. Why does this matter? It does matter. Just trust me, it matters.
Okay.
It does.
It does matter. Important. I know. Okay. Yeah.
We for spoiler reasons, we're not going to say what. I mean, if you've listened to the Vanessa interview, you already know. And if you've seen the show, you already know why it matters. But it's important to me. Anyway, so I like that. Well, I don't like it, but they're doing it during the dun, 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 we'll be right back. It's like when they're like just. I mean, but that's when it is. It's to the point where Filoni actually had to clarify it because he was asked one too many times. He's like, all right, here's where it happened. Price is not impressed with Rook so far. We are, but she's not. It's like, wow, she's hard to please. The imps close in on the camp. It's not looking good, but then Loth Wolves return. The Loth Wolf leads the rebels through a secret force tunnel, and when they get to the other side, they are in a secret settlement on the other side of the planet. And in this cave, in this force cave, Ezra and Kanan see paintings of people coming from the stars, following the wolves. Kanan believes the people in the paintings are Jedi, and the paintings are, because the paintings themselves are very similar to those that we see in the Lothal Jedi Temple. Mm-hmm. Kanan asks the wolf why it helped them, and once again, all the wolf says is doom. Kanan, of course, knows his real name, so it's not like, wow, what does that mean? He knows that's his name. He touches the wolf and feels the insane connection to the force that it has. And Kanan also feels a warning. The Empire, as we've known for some time, has a deeper scheme for Lothal. It's not all about the TIE Defender factory. Something is going on. Something more is going on. We've known this in season one. So finally, we're getting down to the bottom of what it actually is. Hera thankfully arrives safely on Yavin 4 with the Defender's flight recorder and data, and Dave Filoni obviously loves wolves, which we've already talked about. For the continuing mythos of the Lothwolves, Lothal Jedi history, Kenera, Rukh again, and Hera's safe return to Yavin 4, cannon fire! Moving on to Crawler Commanders. Hey, the Mining Guild is back. Awesome. Said cool. No one.
Yeah. Said no one.
Yeah.
These a-holes are at work on the other side of the planet where the rebels currently are. They are stripping the surface of the planet for raw materials. The rebels decide to hijack one of these crawlers to get in touch with Yavin. They got to send a signal to check in with Hera. They get on board one of them and discover slaves on board, which is just lovely. The Empire sold them to the Mining Guild. And we're like, okay, we already hated the Empire. We didn't love the Mining Guild. And now we hate all of you even more. One of the slaves is Visago. And the rebels free all of them, and they get to work right quick getting the signal out to Hera. There's also a fight with a bulky Trandoshan named Proach. I can't recall if it was Proach or Proach. I imagine it's just Proach. He's the foreman. He uses an electro whip. Also in this episode, the crawler's captain, another big meaty Trando named Sivor, who has headphones. It's
just a pain in the butt.
Yeah, he's listening to headphones. So headphones are canon? I'm like,
definitely.
And at one point, Zeb plays a trick with his head. And they don't look like Star Wars headphones. They just look like they're from an 80s Sony Walkman.
Right. That's exactly it.
What else do you want to look like?
Visago is pretty much in at the end of this. Visago is pretty much in the rebellion now. And he takes the crawler for his own. So he's like, I'm captain of this crawler now. So for the headphones, cannon fire. Meanwhile, on Yavin, Hera will wait no further. She demands the command allow an assault on the Lothal factory immediately. And they agree. She's very persuasive. And they get communication from Ezra and the Lothal rebels, who will coordinate from the surface. The Lothal rebels are happy that someone is finally coming. So for the crawlers, which is a kind of vehicle we've never really seen before, they're kind of cool, right?
Yeah, they're cool.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, they're mining guilds, so it's how cool can they really be?
Yeah, dirty.
The mining guild being even worse than we already thought. Visago hitting tough times and then bouncing back. Hera telling the rebellion to shut up and dance. Cannon fire! Moving immediately on to Rebel Assault. Woo! And before we do anything else, I have to celebrate this title. Whether intentional or not, it shares a name with a classic LucasArts computer game that I played a ton of. This and the sequel. Matt, did you play this game?
Oh, yeah. This is a classic. Classic.
I loved this game. I had much more success with this game than I did with X-Wing, because this is more arcade.
Yeah, that's right.
These Rebel arcades is not Flight Sims. It's more of an arcade thing. And especially the second one is notable because they shot – that was when CD-ROM was coming along with using actual video.
Yeah.
And they shot new footage for it using props and costumes from the original trilogy. And it was the first time – anything had been shot with those costumes or uniforms since the original trilogy. It was a big deal at the time. And I remember, oh my God, this is like new stuff. So for Rookie One, Rue Merlin, anyone remember them from that game? Yeah.
Fire.
We still remember you guys. If Rue Merlin or Rookie One ever pops into a Star Wars thing again, I'd lose my mind. Anyway, Hera flies point on a squad of X-Wings. This is cool seeing Hera in an X-Wing. And they have to blast past the Imperial blockade on Lothal. The rebels on the ground have to take out the anti-aircraft guns at the factory so Hera's ships can attack it. This does not go well. Thrawn is leading the counterattack, and Vault Scaris, once again, that's right, I'm back. He's flying point for the Empire in a gold-lined TIE Defender. Not good. He can now identify Hera properly because of her flying skills. The rebels on the surface are successful, and Price sends an alarmed message to Thrawn because they took out the guns. Oh my God, what are we going to do? But he could not care less. He's like, none of their ships are going to get through. Don't worry. I'm just going to stand here. It's like, okay. It's whenever he gets comfortable and overconfident, I get a little worried.
Yeah, whenever those arms go behind the back, you're like, uh-oh, something's about to happen.
Yeah. You
know, yes.
Something bad's going to happen.
Exactly. Hera then gets in an outrageous dogfight with Scaris, and this is a really cool one-on-one
dogfighting scene that reminded, when I was rewatching this, reminded me of a new short that we'll get into later in the show that just came out. Anyway, Thrawn watches in dismay as Skaris plays right into Hera's hands. And Thrawn, I feel like, do you feel like he has more respect for Hera than Vault Skaris?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. He's like, Vault Skaris.
He's almost kind of rooting for her in a way.
Yeah, well, it's like, there's no way. He's going to die.
And again, like, what makes Thrawn such like one of the best Star Wars villains is like the best villains respect their enemies. You know, it's like, yeah, like, you know, nobody else respects them. You know, like he actually knows what they're capable of.
And he's kind of just working for the Empire because they're in power and they're winning right now.
Yeah.
If he got there and it was the New Republic and it was post Return of the Jedi, he would have offered his services to them.
Yeah, possibly.
He's serving who's ever in power right now. He really doesn't care about, you know, deeper stuff or whatever. He's just serving whatever the big power is as per his orders from the Chiss, as we know. Anyway, Hera ends up disabling Skaris's tie and it goes crashing into another ship. So for the death of Vault Skaris, once and for all, cannon, fire. Caitlin, are you happy to see Vault Skaris go?
So happy.
Bye-bye.
I can sleep well. I can sleep at night now.
Yeah.
Don't worry. If you think that the impression will go with him, worry not. It will continue. Hera rallies her squad to make for the planet, but Thrawn has a whole other squadron ready, and Hera's squad is decimated, which is so disheartening to see. Only Hera, Chopper, and Mart Matton really end up safe on the planet's surface. Mart Matton from Iron Squadron. He's back. Thrawn sends out Rukh to capture them, especially Hera. He wants them alive. No disintegrations, Caitlin. Rukh pursues them, and he's just 10 tons of trouble. Kanan is going to the capital to rescue her immediately. He's like, Hera's in trouble. He can't get there fast enough, but he's stopped by Loth wolves who will not let him pass. No matter which way he tries to go, he can't get around these wolves, which happens to me all the time. And they keep repeating
wolves getting in your way.
Yeah. And I'm like, let me go and rescue the love of my life. And there's a big wolf in my way, no matter where I go. And they keep saying my actual last name, which is like, yes, I know that's my name. Anything else? And that's all they're saying. Eventually he just gives up. He's like, okay, what do you want me to do? It's like, I give up. What's the deal? Hera finds a way to escape and Mart and Chopper use it. Hera, however, is captured by Rukh. Mart and Chopper make it to safety. Mart apologizes to Kanan for not being able to help Hera. And Kanan says, there's nothing you could do, but there is something I can do. He doesn't say that exact line or like that, but that's how I'm going
to
say
it. That's what you're getting at. Yeah. Yeah.
This like, let's try it. Matt, say, apologize to me for not being able to help Hera.
I'm sorry I couldn't save Hera.
There is nothing you can do, but there is something I can do.
Wow.
Ta-da! We'll be right back. And with that, we went to winter hiatus, lost our minds with worry over Hera, and then watched The Last Jedi 5 times in theaters. At least I did. So for Hera's attack being foiled, Hera's capture, mysterious force wisdom for Kanan, more Loth wolves, and so much more cannon fire. This just sets up the whole rest of the season now. When this season came out, they were showing these two at a time. So we were getting like double episodes every week. And once we start, the last batch starts, it does not let up. It's pretty much one giant movie for the rest.
Yeah, this is we are, as they say, in the end game now.
In the end game? Is that,
yeah.
Is that
we're,
what people
that's what people
we
say.
Were all
yeah.
thinking. That's what, yeah, we're all thinking it. Anyway, let's have a check-in because we haven't in a while. Favorite moments, screams, what do we like in this batch?
Gosh. I love the Loth wolves. I love the Loth cats. As you know, big fan of Star Wars creatures. Yeah. Love Kanan and the way that he has grown. He is so much better than he was at the beginning of this show as he kind of settles into his role as master, as Jedi, as having more self-confidence and having, I think, a more firm relationship in his family here.
Yeah.
And Ezra is growing up, but, you know, not fully grown up, which is very charming and very wonderful. And I like Sabine's new hair.
That's right. There's been another Sabine hair change. It's not the final one actually, but it's the fourth. It's kind of dark. It's black and another armor change. But I'm liking it. I think the purple white one is kind of might be my fave. But fave.
I like this one a lot.
I don't think Sabine cares, but I really like this one too. It's but you're right. You're really right, Caitlin, that Kanan is just killing it in this stretch. He has just grown. Freddie Prinze just brings such a depth to his voice and everything else. And the wisdom of him, and also getting to what's really important. It's like, yes, all of this is important, but he's really being in the moment. It's like he's doing what Yoda always says. His eye is not on the horizon. If he's in an alleyway with Hera, the love of his life, he's going to say, call attention to it. You know, it's like, well, this is the future right in front of my nose. So I'm going to talk about
growing.
It. Yeah. Matt, any thoughts on this batch?
I mean, this is just a really fun batch. I mean,
there's a lot here. I mean, we go from like Saw ethics to, an episode that takes a LucasArts game title. You know, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah, but there's just a lot there's a lot of rebellion action. You know, you get a lot of time on Yavin 4 with a
Mothma.
Just kidding. But yeah, so that's all great. I mean, I love all the U-Wing action. I love the burgeoning relationship of Zeb and Kallus, continuing on.
That continues too, which is something. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, and then like Name a Rebellion. I mean, that two-parter is like literally a Rogue One prequel. Like, you know, so that's the if you want to have a nice afternoon for yourself, watch those two episodes and watch Rogue One.
That's a good idea. That's a nice idea.
Yeah, but I really, I think stands out for me. I love Ezra's helmet. Have I talked about this before? I dig Ezra's commandeered stormtrooper helmet. Okay,
you have because you have that helmet.
I do. I'm a big fan.
You collect helmets. That's why you're kind of the Ezra Bridger of this show.
Exactly.
You collect the helmets, and every time we get a new one, I see one. I'm like, hey Matt, do you have this one yet?
Yep.
You know, it's like, but yeah, we talked about it because when the Duchess fires off, he has to toss off that helmet.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. But I'd like to get one of those myself, but that's my takeaway. great.
You have one.
No, but I want the Ezra one, the painted one, that's it.
Buy another one and then paint it yourself. It's an art project.
You buy me another one. And then paint it.
Good point. An excellent point. It's like either paint the one you have. I mean, it's if you want to paint it Ezra one, then paint it.
Maybe
yourself.
I will. Maybe I will.
I think you should. I think that would be fun.
It would be.
I'm being honest. I'm being
genuine.
Thank
you. Okay, great. Yeah, God. It would be very good.
I am capable of it. Anyway, next week we're going to be giving the entire discussion over to the episodes Jedi Knight and Doom. Because they are a big one, so they're going to get their own spotlight. For now, we're going to go to break, but we're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. We'll be right back, so don't turn us off.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS, or play online via Facebook games.
We're back, and now it's time for some galactic points of interest.
Good news has come to the citizens of Lothal.
Comics news this week. New from Marvel this week, the trade collection of Dark Temple, which is the Jedi Fallen Order tie-in, is finally available. If you want to catch up with Seer, Junda, and Cordova from that game, what they were up to before the events of the game, check out this comic. It's a lot of fun. Darth Vader number 5 available this week, and also Star Wars number 6. And there's a huge Rebels tie-in in this comic, direct from something from season one of Rebels. I won't spoil it here. But it's really interesting for fans that are into the comics and into Rebels right now. I really couldn't believe it when it happened. It was really, really cool. So a really nice addition to canon. And also, Matt, you're talking about yellow lightsabers. This is not a spoiler because it's right on the cover. Luke in the between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi period with a yellow lightsaber.
Ooh. So
there you go. Yeah. It's right on the cover. He's in his flight suit wielding a yellow lightsaber.
Crazy.
And it's one from the High Republic. They keep dropping High Republic in all these comics. So they're really making that a thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's it for comics. I really recommend that. The last, both Star Wars number 5 and 6, really deep on Luke and the Jedi mythos and everything. Really good stuff. Not only did we get the Mandalorian trailer, there was a trailer for, it wasn't even a trailer. It was a digital short film for Star Wars Squadrons.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, and this came out a few days before the Mando trailer, and it was just a thing of beauty, wasn't it? Wasn't this thing gorgeous?
This thing was gorgeous. I enjoyed watching this so much. Like, I would, you know, I'd watch a whole series in a game engine that is like this. You know, like, yeah, it was absolutely. So entertaining.
It was just next level. It was next level. Almost, it puts us in the shoes, really, of an Imperial pilot, and it really puts us on their side, which is not the first time a game or story has done that, but this does it in a really interesting way. It lets us know it's almost certainly this game is taking place in the year between the Battle of Endor and the Battle of Jakku. So we're in the aftermath territory here, because it's almost certainly Rey Sloane in this short. So that means it's before the Battle of Jakku. It would have to be before the Battle of Jakku. But mostly it's just a really gorgeous short. And if the game is going to have scenes like this and extended scenes like this, then we're really in for a treat.
Yeah. If you haven't watched it yet,
certainly imagine. Right. I imagine that they will. Me and my friend were noting the other day that most video games anymore are just movies that you play.
Yeah, it's so true.
Well, that's why I like them so much. It's when people say, it's games, great. But they're just games, but they're a waste of time. It's like, no, it's their interactive, full-on interactive stories. I just finished The Last of Us Part 2. That is an experience. That's an interactive experience. It's like, so it's just a new way of storytelling, and it makes you complicit in it. It's kind of amazing, and especially this. So you're seeing this, and you just got done playing as a rebel blowing away Imperials. It's like, well, they're not faceless. It's like, here's the person. This guy's name is Varko Gray, who they've been really wanting to spill this for a long time. And he already has a databank entry on StarWars.com. One point of interest here is he has a husband that it says is like he and his husband do this. It's like, you can already see this and the short on StarWars.com. But it's just so cool from his perspective and everything. And it really puts you against the rebel pilot in this. He's like, the war is over, imp. And the choice line is, not for me. And just like, he's still at it. So any further thoughts on that aside from, wow, it was.
Cool.
So good.
It was another one of those things is, well, that's our Star Wars trailer for the week. We can rest easy.
Right. I forget that came out this week.
Ring, wake up. So anyway, better buckle up, baby. That's right. Captain's Corner.
I haven't had my muffin yet, Matt.
Hey! Woo! Oh, it's good to be back and being able to do the open like normal. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Captain's Corner. It is a beautiful day in the corner. I mean, it's just absolutely gorgeous. If you look out the starboard window, would you believe it or not, we are approaching the water planet of Kamino, everybody. We're approaching.
I love Kamino.
Kamino's great, you know. It's a little rainy, you know. The weather isn't very great on Kamino at all times, but, you know. But we're coming here for a reason today. Because we saw the Mandalorian trailer this week. We were all blown away by the idea of boats in Star Wars. Star Wars on water.
It's my boat.
So today, we're going to take a little deep dive into the history of boats in Star Wars. Wires, play my music.
A Jedi. Gotta have me my boat. A Jedi. Gotta have me my boat. A Jedi.
All right, how about that track, huh?
Great.
How about that track?
This is great.
I mean, like,
you made that, didn't you?
Listen,
you made that.
I may or may not have made it, but like the kids say, it slaps. It's a banger. You know, call into your local radio stations, request it. Boats and Jedi.
You have never been older.
Never. Never than this moment right now. Anyway, so my extensive research has revealed not much. Not much. There aren't boats in Star Wars, believe it or not. There's not a lot of, like, on certain... There's a lot of submarines. You know, we've seen a lot of water battles, you know, Clone Wars, obviously.
There's the Bongo.
There's the Bongo, yes. Yeah, then when they go through the planet core.
The planet core.
The planet core. Yeah.
And there's all the ski speeder in Rise of Skywalker, let's not forget.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
On Kef Beer, the latest movie.
Fantastic. Yes, I've seen it many times.
Yes, it is fantastic.
But anyway, we know there's a ton of, like, giant, stupid Star Wars monsters, sea creatures. So it's like you would think there would be, you know, some boats and stuff, but there's just not a lot of it. There's a lot of submarines, a lot of underwater battles, but not a lot of boats, guys. Not a lot of boats. But, you know, the Mon Calamari, they got to have boats, right? You would assume they've got boats, you know? I know they go underwater, but, like, they're seafaring.
Do you want an actual answer to that, or do you want to just keep doing this?
I'll keep going.
Their underwater society, their ships are their boats.
I was getting that. They build their ships underwater.
No, you weren't.
I was. It's in my notes. I'll send it to you. They build their ships underwater, and then they go to space. So technically they're boats, but they're submarines, you know, really.
They're submarines.
They're not boats, Brian.
Right.
Yeah.
Boats, like, what? I guess we have to talk about, like, what the definition of a boat is. Something that is intentionally meant to float on top of the water.
Exactly. A lot of submarines in Star Wars, not a lot of boats, you know? So that's what that's what we figured out. But the closest I can get to in my research was in the Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds. It's a 2001 PC strategy game. Came out, you know, 19 years ago. In that game, there's actually an Imperial Navy, an Imperial Maritime Division, also known as the Imperial Navy. You know, I got this information from the Eckhart's Ladder on YouTube. He's got a channel, does a lot of Star Wars videos. But he talks about a lot of repurposed Imperial tech. Like, there's the TIE boat, which is really a TIE fighter that just kind of skims on water. And I don't think this is canon necessarily anymore, but you would assume the Empire's got an Imperial water navy, right?
Right. Like, you need you need to be able to fight things on water.
Gotta fight things on water. So anyway.
This is so much worse than I thought it was going to be.
So anyway, some other random musings about Star Wars boats and waters. Lightsabers in water. You know? Lightsabers work underwater, you know? As we all know.
We know. We've seen Clone Wars. We know.
We've seen Kit Fisto.
That's not new.
Yeah, he's got a lightsaber underwater. That's cool.
Yes, and all of the other Jedi in that season 4 opener. Yes, we've seen it.
Yep. Other random musings about water. Darth Vader hates water. Did you know Darth Vader hates water? According to Darth Vader number 15, he almost drowns underwater, and he hates it. He hates water.
What is this, just about water now?
One more note about water in Star Wars. Imperial Star Destroyers can't work underwater. This is my research.
Who says that?
Somebody said it. So if anybody can find me.
Somebody said it.
I read it somewhere.
What's your attribution? I don't know. Somebody said it.
You think a Star Destroyer works underwater, Brian?
Somebody said it.
Yeah. Anyway.
What's that?
This is Matt's corner.
This is my corner. Thank you.
This is Matt's corner.
Caitlin, there's only so much I can take. And I feel like I took a lot before I piped up.
Anyway,
just talking about water.
Jeez. You know, will you let me finish, please? Come on. People are dying for this segment.
The sooner you let him talk, the quicker it's over, Brian. It's like a band-aid. Just got to rip it off.
I've heard that before.
So anyway, boats in Star Wars, not a lot of them. If I'm wrong, please let me know. I couldn't find any more boats. Very excited for the Mandalorian boat. What do you think it's going to be called, Caitlin? What would you call that boat, Mandalorian?
Ooh, the SS Yoda Baby.
Ah, that's a good one. I was going to Bodalorian, I was thinking.
Ooh, also good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you. Brian, do you have one?
You're not going to ask me what I would call it.
You're next, Brian. Brian Silliman, any thoughts on boats in Star Wars?
Jen A.
And that'll do it for this week's Captain's Corner. Wires, one more time, play my music.
Oh, I would be happy to, sir.
It's a banger. It slaps. It's a banger.
Please delete that entire track from my databanks.
Oh,
thank you.
I think I have it on CD.
And
Anyway, moving on.
Right. I forgot the Starbidger has a CD-ROM.
Oh, a six CD changer.
And some Trandoshan headphones. Now I'll turn it over to the Jedi Master for our next segment.
This is Obi-Wan Kenobi, and now it's time for Caitlin's Word of the Week.
The word of the week is...
fascinating.
Good job, Caitlin. She seems to be on top of things.
Ooh. Was that a Thrawn?
Nice. I love that Caitlin did a Thrawn impression.
That was the best one yet.
It was really bad, but I'm going to go with it.
Whenever Caitlin does an impression, it's my favorite thing. I love it. I don't care if I don't accurate or not. I don't care. It's that's the reverse of Captain's Corner. That's how good it was. That's going to take us into real talk.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
All right. So much real talk this week. As we've said, a lot of theories and hot takes on the Mando trailer, especially. And it's almost so much, and we're seeing it all, and we appreciate all of it. If we don't respond, it's because there's just a lot of it. And Matt is taking up a lot of his own private time painting helmets and creating tracks about yes. boats and doing a lot of boat
mixing
research, apparently. So he's,
and
he's
Caitlin
got
is
a,
generally not on social media anymore because the world is burning.
And also she and Caitlin is also working a lot, as are we all. So we're seeing it. We appreciate all of it. If we don't respond to everything, it's because there's just not always time. Aside from, you know, when I respond, the ongoing tale of me being catfished by someone pretending to be Amelia Clark, I have plenty of time to update everyone on that. listener Stephen Bauer, however, has posted a still shot of me recording our trailer episode, which I thought this was funny because it's just a picture of a really grumpy cat.
It's grumpy cat. Not a grumpy cat. It's the grumpy cat.
No, it's the grumpy cat. It made me laugh. And I have to say it is accurate, except I'm a dog person my personally, and I'm partial to terriers. So that's, you know, if I was to be a grumpy animal, it would be a grumpy terrier. But accurate, fair. I'm like, this is Matt. And I noticed Matt could not like that tweet fast enough.
Smash that like button.
Yes, thank you.
It was like the minute I saw
button.
It was liked immediately.
Yeah,
and
good.
I'm like, okay.
I liked it.
With that, we're all friends here.
We're all friends here now.
It's many boats.
Many boats.
Many boats.
Okay.
Many boats, yeah.
With that, we're all going to walk off with Vargo Gray like a boss. But join us next week where we'll continue season 4 of Star Wars Rebels.
You're rebels, aren't you?
As I've said, we'll be giving the whole discussion over to the episodes Jedi Knight and Doom. In the meantime, feel free to reach out to us on social media if you so choose. Caitlin and Bush, you can be sometimes, if you're lucky, found where?
That would be at Caitlin M. Bush. That is CaitlinM. Bush like the beer, not like the presidents.
Matt Romano, you can be found where?
You can find me at Matt Romano on Twitter, MattRomano.
Also, his helmet painting TikTok page.
Yes.
And I can be found on Twitter at Brian Silliman. That's at Brian, S as in Sky Guy, Illiman. Stretch out with your feelings and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. Subscribe, leave a comment, and give 5 stars if you're feeling generous. Snoke 'em if you got 'em. Take it, Sheevy. And remember, hope is like the sun. If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never make it through the night. This is the way we have spoken. The Force will be with you always. Many boats.
Many boats.
Many boats.
Be the spark.
Let's go to Bastamania.